strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all. Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Can we just worship you tonight? Good to be in church tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've got several prayer requests. I'm going to ask Brother Gene Lehman, if he don't mind, to come and pray over these. Sister Shirley Robbins has asked that we remember Brother Greg Robbins in prayer. Been sick, not feeling well for the last several days. Just remember him. Sister Ruth Louise Jacks would like for us to remember her daughter, Crystal Michaela, in prayer. Deep spiritual, psychological problems, just asking the Lord to move in that situation. Also for a brother, it's a Jack, I can't read the last name, hospitalized a few days ago for COVID-19, moved to the ICU today with complications, so let's certainly remember that very serious need. Skip and Judy, Brother Skip, Sister Judy would like for us to remember their son Jeremy. He's on several medications to remove a mass in his lungs. The medicines are making him nauseated, very weak, but he has to stay on it for a year. If the meds aren't able to be tolerated, he'll have to have surgery to remove the mass. Also asking God for his salvation. Brother Skip's mother in the nursing home was tested positive for the coronavirus as well. So serious needs there. Let's remember those. Sister Linda Nunley called. She has Brother Daniel at the emergency room. They think he has pneumonia, so certainly remember that. Also remember David Hara in prayer. He had a surgery, ended up having to go back, and they had to take care of some infection, put a drain in, and just really asking the Lord to, if this doesn't work, he would have to have surgery again, an avenue he doesn't want to go down again for sure. So let's just believe with Brother David. I think he was feeling better today, so we thank the Lord for that. And then just Sister Erica Reagan, they've been getting some good reports and continuing to believe for her complete healing, but Brother Donnie may share some things with us, but I think so far so good. Just trusting the Lord to completely take care of that situation. Sister Victoria Thomas wants to thank the Lord that she's able to eat after 2 weeks, helping her with a physical therapy that she couldn't do before. She has a severe hip dysplasia, very bad gout. Also, her husband fell off a ladder, re-injured his broken leg. So they're just asking for prayer. Also for her sister and then just the entire family. With needs. There's a sister, Teresa Setzer from North Carolina, called to thank everyone for praying for her son. His name is Michael Bullock. He's been on drugs since the age of 13, now 42 years old. Felt God's tug to return to church. He's in the justification state. She's believing God will finish the work, just asking God to continue to move. If we could stand tonight, Brother Gene, if you'd come and take these needs to the Lord tonight.
message tonight. Heavenly Father, we've come to assemble in your presence tonight, God, and we've come, Lord, to worship you tonight, Father, and nothing else, God. We've come to taste of you. We've come to hear from you. We've come, Lord, to see you. And God, you're all of that and more. We could never, never thank you enough, God, for what you are and what you've done. And what you're going to do, Father. We're living in terrible times, God. We're living in a time, God, when that the faith is people are walking away from the faith. They're walking away from you tonight, God. Lord, help me never to walk away from you. Help me never, my faith, to ever fail you, God, in any way, Father. May I always, God, have a desire, God. You put that desire in my heart. I didn't ask for it. You put it in there. And I thank you tonight for it, God, because I know you're a living God. And I know, God, that you can rescue, and you will rescue every one of us. When that time comes, God, we're waiting for that great day, Father, when you call us home, Lord. And I know, God, that there's going to be a great calling, and there's going to be a great time one day, Lord, when we meet all up there, Father. So we're just asking now that you'll touch these requests, Father. There's people sick. There's people in distress, God. There's people that needs different things, God. But Lord, you're a prayer answering God. You're a healer, God. You're a deliverer, Father. You can do all things, God, because you're God. There's none other besides you, Father. You're the one that can move. You're the one that can heal. You're the one that can talk to our hearts, God. Lord, when we're down and when we don't feel like praying, God, when we don't feel like doing nothing, God, you come, Lord, and you urge us to go on and pick us up and give us a little bit of strength, God, that we can press to battle. So tonight we ask, God, that these times, God, that are hard, Father, and all the church not getting to come together, Lord, but we thank you for these days, God, and these times that we can come, Father. May you bless, Lord, tonight this service, God. May we get something tonight, God, that'll hold us, God, in a time of need. May we get something, God, that'll hold us when it looks like it's Satan's on every hand, Father. Move by your grace tonight, we pray, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord.
Lord, we are the ones called by your name. We humble ourselves now as we pray. Renouncing every sin and wicked way. Our voice, seek your face and say, Lord, send the rain, pour out your spirit, let the fire fall, heal us one and all, fall fresh on me. Send the rain, pour out your spirit, let the fire fall, heal us one and all, fall fresh on me. Lord, we are the ones called by your name. Ourselves now as we pray, renouncing every sin and wicked way. Can we lift our voice to him tonight?
be seated tonight. Days of Elijah, be flat. Let's sing about the days of Elijah. A lot of folks have turned their back on our Elijah, quitting right here so close to the end. But these are the days we're going to press forward. Believe that. He'll appear to those that are looking for him. Let's be found looking for him.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. Though these are days of great trial, a famine and darkness and sore, so we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. Days of Ezekiel, dry bones becoming as flesh. These are the days of your servant David, building a temple of praise. These are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white in your word. Declaring the word of the Lord. Are you looking for him tonight? You're riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee. Down to Zion's hill, salvation come. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I think we have a sister who has a song for us tonight. If you want to come be getting ready to sing. You know, I struggle terribly while she's coming with timing. I have a real problem with timing. So I really appreciate Wayne always just getting me right back on track. You know, tonight me and Wayne had our 30-year high school reunion that we were supposed to go to. But we had something better to do. Amen. We're happy to be here tonight. And I appreciate Brother Wayne and what he does for us.
Holy Ghost filled and water baptized. and we are filled with the mercy of the Lamb and the bread. And I feast now daily because I've learned to live in the grace that belongs to all who are born again. And I am cleansed, I am washed, I am sanctified, I am Holy Ghost filled and water baptized. I am right with my God for all time, 'cause Jesus my Savior's alive.
Sing I'm Amazed together. Can we sing that with all of our hearts tonight? I hope none of his love and his grace to us would ever get common. Let's just tell him tonight that his grace and his love amazes us.
Well, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you can. Found pardon, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed. Precious
Let's sing that second verse.
Well, it's true, there have been days when I failed you. Lord, you know the many times I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness. And your ear is open every time I pray. No one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord. Other friends could never be as close to me. I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow. Knowing you are everything I'll ever need. I'm amazed that you love me.
You, Lord Jesus, I hope we never, ever let that become common. It costs such a tremendous price that we could be able to stand here tonight, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, to say that we're redeemed, rapture ready. Think of it, friends. We were as lost could be. We were not a people. We didn't have a covenant. We didn't have anything but judgment and condemnation. And here we stand tonight as the people of God. We're blessed, aren't we? But Brother Donnie, we're going through so much trials. That's right, but we got somebody to go through them trials with us. Amen. Is that right? Praise the Lord. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord? Y'all seem a little draggy tonight. Didn't Brother Joel do a good job trying to get you all perked up here? And he's bragging on how good you all were. Amen. Well, we're happy to be together tonight in the house of the Lord. We've got so many needs. You just heard those requests there that Brother Joel read, and there are so many, many others. But I believe this time that we're living, it's a great opportunity for the presence of God to be able to manifest Himself in our midst. We know it's at these junctions of time when omnipotence must point toward a great manifestation of what God wants to do. And God allows difficulty and trouble to come so that omnipotence can come and display itself in a way we would never see it if things were going good. So it really depends on our outlook and what we're looking for. I don't know about you, I'm looking for great things. I serve a big God. I don't pack my God in my pocket. I don't have a God that's made out of wood and stone and clay or brass and bronze and gold and silver and have to send him over to some jewelry store somewhere to get his eye replaced or his hand replaced. I serve an almighty God. Amen. Amen. So appreciate the goodness of the Lord tonight. I'm sure maybe some of you have already heard a little bit about the report that we got yesterday from the doctor as far as Eric is concerned. For some of you that haven't heard it, I'll just give you a briefing of it. She had a brain scan done. It was clear. full body scan on her bones, every bone in her body. It was clear. Endoscopy, it was clear. Colonoscopy, clear. I'm taking her Monday, Lord willing, to do a biopsy on the lung. And then next Friday to do a gallium, they call it gallium PET scan. So we're just believing God for a mighty miracle on her behalf. Not only her now. Don't just put Erica up here at the top because she's the pastor's daughter and forget everybody else. No, we all stand on the same plane before the Lord. So I know many of you are touched by her sickness and so on. And we so, so appreciate it. People around the world. But we have so many others that are so sick. And we're going to offer prayer here tonight before we read the word. Brother Darrell Ward and his daughters and wife, of course, have got COVID. Want to remember them. Brother David Seiler has been sick with it. He's doing some better. His wife, Susan, is sick with it. Brother Terry Tidwell, I've talked to him twice this week. The last couple of days, he called me. Him and Sister Vicky sitting in the ER. They thought they was going to have to intubate her because she could not breathe. And we prayed together, and the Lord moved for her, and they put her on oxygen. Thank the Lord for that. She's still in the hospital. Talked to Brother Terry again this morning. He called me, and he was not doing good at all. And later, I think today, he had to go back to the ER because he could not breathe. Brother David Seiler told me it's about 11 in their church. It's affected by it. Several people are very, very sick. Brother Carroll's been in the hospital with it. And got out of the hospital yesterday. Still isn't feeling good today. So there's a bunch of them that are sick with it. Certainly need our prayers. Now look, friends, I know we've heard a lot of nonsense, a lot of politics and this and that and other. But if you'd been in contact with as many people as I have who had this, you wouldn't laugh at it. It's not a thing to play with. It's very serious stuff. Ask Brother Darrell if he wants it again. Ask any of these people who's had it. Oh, there's some that gets it and don't even know they've got it. But I know many, many more who's got it, and they never want it the rest of their entire life. Today is Brother Darrell's 8th day with it. Ask him if he'd like it again the second time. So we certainly want to pray for these people that God would just help them. And just remember, Hemi has needs tonight in your life, in your home, your family. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just want to ask you tonight, Lord Jesus, on behalf of your children. Lord, as I talked to Brother Daniel Nunley this morning, and my heart just went out to him, Lord, he could barely breathe and talk at the same time. Told me he's probably going to have to go in today, Lord. And then Sister Linda calling us on our way to church tonight, Father, telling us that she had to take him in. And the doctors think maybe that he has pneumonia. We pray for our brother tonight, Lord, that you just move for him. Father, I cannot imagine how it must feel to not be able to catch your breath. Lord God, we pray for Brother Daniel tonight. In the name of Jesus, may the Spirit of God move for our brother. Lord, and touch Brother David Hara today. And Lord, we're just asking you that you'd move for him. You see this that he's had, Lord. Had quite a situation dealing with this in his body. But we're believing you, Father, that you're going to move on behalf of our brother. Lord, we thank you for every positive thing we hear, every wonderful testimony that we're able to rejoice in. I pray for Brother Darrell and his family. Lord, I pray for Brother David Seiler, his family, for his church there. God, may you just strengthen them and help them. We pray for, Lord God, all the needs of your children around the world. Father, I know of so many in Africa. Uganda is shut down. Lord, friends of mine from the Congo have actually been in South Africa now for about 3 months, unable to go back to their own country. Because our borders are shut down because of all this. Lord, it's wreaking havoc around the world. So we pray, God, for your mercy that you would help us, Lord. I know many of these people live in a little tiny, small, small world. And they get their influence from mama and from daddy. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand. There's millions of people that's being affected by this. We have brothers and sisters in Africa and India and the Philippines and third world countries. They cannot work. They cannot provide for their families because their jobs are shut down. We pray for your people around the world. Some folks, all they're interested in is just their political version of it. Help us to get outside of our box, God. help us to realize there's so many people that are suffering because of this, and we'd rather argue about whether we're a mask or not. Help us not to be so foolish. Help us not to be so selfish that all we're concerned about is arguing and debating over this and that and the other. Lord God, I pray for mercy to your children. I pray for your children in Africa, Lord, that can't eat. Dear God, every week getting the emails begging for help to buy food because they can't eat, they can't work, they can't get out because their government's got them shut down. God, be mindful of your people, I pray, Lord. Help us, dear God. Move on behalf of your children. Lord, we're not interested in politics. We're not interested in this doctor said that and that doctor said, Lord, what we want is deliverance for your people. Be merciful, I pray, Heavenly Father. We thank you for Erica's report yesterday, Father, and we're believing you, God. This is just the beginning of great things that we're going to hear. Lord God, we pray that you'd help us tonight in the service. You saw the hundreds of hands that were uplifted, not only here visibly, but those out that are streaming tonight. God, we ask that you just be mindful of the needs of your people. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Praise the Lord. And the saints said, amen. Let's turn tonight to a wonderful, wonderful place in the Scripture. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 15. In it contains light that will shine on the Old Testament, light and grace that will shine on the New, also hopefully light and grace that will shine on our hearts. Now listen carefully as we read together verse 15, 16, and 17. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament. Now remember, the Lord Jesus didn't just die for you and for those of from 2,000 years ago and on this way. But he is also giving the perfect sacrifice for every Old Testament believer who was not perfected by the blood of a goat. Now I want you to think that one death actually expiated the sins of all the Old Testament elect. Can you imagine how many millions there were from the cross on back that a blood of a goat or a turtle dove or a pigeon could not atone for? So he paid their penalty from the cross all the way back to Adam. Hallelujah. From the cross all the way back to Adam, and from the cross all the way plumb over to the last Gentile and the last Jew of the 144,000 will be saved. Praise be to God. That by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, because they were not actually expiated, they were simply painted over. So they take the blood of an animal and it just painted over it. But it could not perfect them. It could not allow them to go into heaven. They which are called, amen, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. So this totally eradicates the theology of more than one God. Absolutely annihilates the false doctrine of two lords around this message. Because the testator himself must die. Let me make it plain to you. So I make a will of what I own and I possess. So if one of my daughters die, does that mean my will is effective? No. So if you make a will and your son dies, you make a will, Brother Wayne, and your son, Jared, dies, does that make his will effective? Why? Jared was not the testator. Hallelujah. So the will of God is the testament of God. So God could not send another person to die and then God's will kick in. Hallelujah. But it must be God in a condescended form. Hallelujah. Not a second person of the Godhead, but the person. Glory to God. I tell you what, that hit me today like 1,000 volts. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So in other words, a son, another being separate from God, could die every day. And it still would not give the testament of the eternal strength. It would be of no effect until somehow the eternal takes death unto himself. May the Lord bless His word and us. You may be seated. For this cause, you see, again, it is the act of kenosis, emptying himself out, but not another God, not another Lord. God said in the Old Testament, if there is any other God, I know not one. He said, there is none beside me, saith the Lord. He said, if there is any other, I know not of one. So if there wasn't one with him in the Old Testament, how could there be another with him in the New? I love the way these apostolic writers, being the first generation that was born out of the genealogy of God, how that they were not contaminated with the Nicene Creed. They were not contaminated with Baptist theology, Church of God, Pentecostal, Assembly of God. They had an advantage on us in the sense that they had this Judeo-Christian merging of their background. None of these Jews believed in two gods or three. So for them then to embrace that their God had been made manifest in a mortal body, they were taught from the Old Testament right up to the Lord Jesus, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The Lord is one." So for them to believe that it was a superior person and an inferior person and another inferior person, they didn't have that muddle that you and I have to pull through. So when they wrote about Father and Son, they were not writing of Nicene mess and Nicene junk, but they come from this Judeo background and merge into what we call the Judeo-Christian perception of the Godhead. So when they would use the term Son, and they used it all through their writings, but they were not in their mind thinking of an old man and a younger man sitting there by him, but they knew it was an expression of the Father. Amen. Notice this, Paul in verse 15, he says, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. And the word here that he used, the Greek word can be used interchangeably for testament or covenant. So it is actually the new covenant. And this is why that Jesus, when he sits there with the disciples at what we call the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper, and he hands them the bread and the wine, and he said, take, eat, this is my body. And take and drink, for this is the blood of the New Testament, or the new covenant of my blood. Now we know that it must be sealed by a covenant of blood. And there must be a seal or a token upon this to make it active, as it would be your will or someone else's will, that it must be witnessed and it must be a legal document. Then that document will be taken. Then the legatees, as it's called, they cannot get anything out of that will. Now, you might have a copy of the will. You've got 14 brothers and 13 sisters, and they've all got a copy of the will. The legal term is that you are called a legatee. A legatee. But you can get absolutely nothing out of the contents of that will. Your father might be a millionaire, a billionaire, a trillionaire, whatever more. You might have potentially houses and lands in Florida, in California, in Colorado, but you will not be able to get any of that until the death of your father. And then at the death of your father, then the will kicks in motion. Now, notice how Paul catches this, that it must be the death of the testator himself. So the testator is the one who provides the terms of the will. So it cannot be a lawyer. Well, here's John Doe. He is a lawyer, Mr. Fred Smith. And Mr. Fred Smith says that he will leave to his kids so and so and so and so. And then when the lawyer dies, they will all get it. That's not the way it works. The lawyer may draw it up. The lawyer makes sure that it's legal, but it's not based upon the death of the lawyer. It is not based upon the death of another family member, but it is based upon the testator himself, and the eternal cannot die. God is a spirit, but yet this is from his own heart, from the very core of his own being. This did not come from an angelic being, but it is the will or the testament. Now think of it this way. This is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ, which is the incarnate God. But this is why the believers could not receive the Holy Ghost until first the testator had died. Now, the believers, Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, Matthew, Mark, all of those that had walked with the Lord Jesus, it was so limited and what they were able to get pre-Calvary because the testator had not died and the effect of the will had not kicked in. Look at all the power the Lord had for Peter. Look at all the power and the great display of the supernatural that he had for John. Look at all the revelations that he had for John. But yet he could not get them. Why? The testator had not died. But my friend, ever since the death of the Lord Jesus, then everything in his last will and testament is ours. So if you're sick tonight, the will has already been purchased and the seal has been torn off the will, it's yours. You need healing, you need deliverance, you need peace, whatever you need, it's in the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice the channel by which Paul funnels it down through, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of not miracles, not means of life, not means of supernatural, there's only one means by which it can come down, and that is by the means of death. For the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament. Now get it in your mind now that there were offenses that were left under the old covenant that could not be expiated. There's no way, absolutely no way, that a blood of a lamb could totally eradicate Adam's sin. All that Adam brought on us, all that Adam Adam did, and yet one lamb died for him. How was he able to walk out from behind the bush with that sheepskin wrapped around him, even to worship God? He did it by faith. But he was believing somehow that there would come a time. No doubt he looked at it, Brother Gene, and thought, how can God accept the blood of this lamb for all that I have done? All that I have forfeited? Did it make Adam right back on the same place he was before? It did not. It never put Adam right back in the Garden of Eden. Had his sins totally been expiated and Adam been placed across the chasm again, Adam would turn right around and walk right back into the Garden of Eden again, a restored man. But it could not do that. It could only bring him out, and that with fear and shame and humiliation. But that lamb was pointing to a time when God would be able to provide a testator of a New Testament. Friends, wonder how many millions and millions of sins David's adultery was still under. Oh my, it was still under the blood of a goat. All the unbelief of Israel, all the unbelief of the prophets, all of their shortcomings was still not under the sinless blood of the Lord Jesus. Nope, not until he died on the cross. That's why they could not go directly into the presence of God. Wonder how many sins of the people of God that was there simply painted over, but you scratch the paint off and there it is. The evil of David's sin and his adultery of taking an innocent man's life. Oh, numbering the people on and on and on we could go. It was not expiated. Expiated means that it reaches a place that is totally annihilated and the sinner has come back to a state of innocence. Oh my. The offenses which could not be expiated by the blood of an animal were still waiting. Oh God, thank you, Lord. And yet the dispensation by which they would be totally eliminated from the presence of God, they could not receive full forgiveness. They could not receive the place of restitution and restoration because it was the blood of an animal. Yes, the Old Testament did require a life, but what kind of life was it? The life of an animal, the life of a pigeon, the life of a bullock, of the life of some lamb. But God was prophesying and pointing to a day when the mediator himself, the testator himself, the lawgiver himself, amen, the very one who said, it's my will or my testament that my people be saved. It is my will or my testament that my people are fully redeemed. But yet, how could he ever do it? He must do it through condescension. He must stoop down to a level that he can become a man. He must take the very sins of his own judgment upon himself. And when he dies, but the miraculous thing about it is, it don't say that he has to stay dead. But if he dies, then he releases the power of the will. And when he releases the power of the will, he resurrects. Oh, hallelujah! But by the means of death, he died and released the power of the will. And when he released it, he raised himself from the dead. Oh, glory to God. Can you imagine them in their hearts with all sincerity offering the blood of a lamb or an animal in faith? In one way, it would have taken more faith to believe that God would have accepted an animal for your sin than it would for us. Look, we're believing God, right, is accepting his own sacrifice. But they stand there thinking, God is going to take this animal for me? How can it be? How can it be? And you understand, every one of them true believers that did that in faith, when the Lord Jesus died, their sins were expiated in the presence of God. This is why in Matthew 27:53, many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose. He led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. What did he do? He went down into paradise where they were being held. Why? Because the blood of an animal would not let their soul go up into the realm of the sixth dimension. Why? Their sins were still there. David's adultery, the blood of an animal, couldn't wipe it all clean. Oh, he said, my sin is ever before me. I sinned against you and you against the only Lord. I'm so sorry. Oh, God, please forgive me. But he was still under that because the blood of an animal could not do it. All I know is it's a good thing David lived in the Old Testament instead of living in the New. Boy, he'd have shouted himself to death if he lived here tonight. If David was in Happy Valley, the deacons had done had to escort him out of here. To be able to live in the day whenever he's totally expiated by the blood of the Lord Jesus. But once the Lord Jesus paid the complete price, then he released every one of those genuine believers. Now, no doubt some of them came up. They wasn't sincere. They didn't really believe it. They went through the action. You know where they are? They're still lost. But every one of the days that believed it, and they applied that blood of an animal in faith, hallelujah, when the Lord Jesus came and raised them up and their sins were totally eliminated. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice this, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are Oh, you mean it ain't just anybody that wants to? Oh, no, Brother Donnie, here you go again. Yep, here I go. One of my favorite things in all the whole Bible. You see, because it is His will, it's not based upon me deciding that I want to. Now, say some rich man would die and say, I've heard of this man, Donnie Reagan, and I want to leave him about $2 trillion. Well, that's very unlikely, isn't it? But I want to leave him, well, I don't even know this guy, I'm not worthy, I didn't really do anything, but yet he wants to leave it to me. Well, I'd be, you know, I mean, if he wants to leave it to me, I think I'll take it and see how many more churches we can build. See how many more message books we can print and do this and that and the other. Well, or I can say, well, really, I'm not worthy. And I honestly didn't know him. And I think I might have mentioned that guy's name a time or two and I was preaching. I scorched his hide real good. So I don't think that I should honestly do that. And I can go down that road or I can be able to take that and say, man, what could we do with that? And it's the same way with all that the Lord Jesus has done for us. So he said, well, I'm not worthy to be healed. I'm not worthy to be say, I'm just going to keep on working. I'm going to work myself and I'm going to get words here. I'm going to get clean and I'm going to lay that aside. I'm going to quit this and I'm going to quit that. Then I'll get good enough to be saved. You'll never be good enough to be saved. You're not good enough. He didn't come to save good people. He come to save bad people that knew they were bad. That's the key. As long as you think you can get good enough, you're still focusing on the self-centeredness that Adam placed in you by your natural birth. It's in man to be selfish. It's in man to be self-centered. It's in man to try to provide his own way. But it takes a real man or woman to say, I'll never do it. I'll go to hell if I wait on myself. I'll be lost if I wait on myself. I've got to receive what God paid for me. I accept it as a free gift. Oh, hallelujah. Now, notice who this is administered to. Paul calls them they which are called. Look at this word. It means bid or named or to call aloud. Utter in a loud voice to name by name. So God names you by name and calls you. Well, praise the Lord. Now, notice in Acts 2:39, for the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall... Oh, you mean even the giving of the Holy Ghost? Now remember, Acts 2:38, repent, be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Romans chapter 1 verse 6. Among whom, oh I love this one, are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Romans 1, 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God. Listen what you're called to be. Called to be saints. Aren't you glad you're called to be saints? Aren't you glad God didn't just call you and leave you out there in that old worldly church and you're actually a prostitute? Think of it, friends. Many of them feel that call, the initial call to give their heart to God, but they're not called to be saints. They're just called to be saved. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not just called to be saved. I'm not just called to be forgiven. I'm called to be a sanctified one, which is what the word saint means. I'm not just called to just, well, oh, praise God, I won't go to hell one day. No, I won't just not go to hell, but I'm called to be a sanctified life, a sanctified person, a sanctified, I am called to be a saint. So how do you get this? Oh, brother Darren, the Catholic Church canonizes you. It ain't the Catholic Church that calls you to be a saint. It's the Lord God. You have to be dead to be a saint in the Catholic Church, and then they may or may not give you sainthood. But real saints have it while they're alive. I've got my sainthood now. I ain't waiting on some pope to say, well, we heard he was a holy man, and some nano tape turned up and say, he blasted the Catholic Church and called him a whore. We're dropping his name from being a saint. Well, God's already crowned me a saint. Notice this, I am called, you are called, to all that be in Rome, beloved of, oh listen to this, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, whenever they were writing this, in their mind, they were not one big God and one little smaller God, and the one big God sat up on a big throne, and the small God sat over on the other side. It was the merging together that the Lord Jesus Christ was the visible image of the invisible God. He was the Son that God gave birth to before the foundation of the world. It was that part of God which could become tangible. It was the testatorship which could taste the hallelujah, the penalty of death in order to release the law of the New Testament. Romans 8:28. For we know all things. Woo! Work for good to them that love God. Boy, we need help sometimes with this verse, don't we? My. I called Brother Charlie Cox several years ago and just kind of check on him and see how he was doing. I said, hey, Brother Charlie, how you doing? He said, well, I'm on the bad side of Romans 8:28. In other words, he's going through a lot of hardships and a lot of difficulties. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. This is his will. This is his will. Amen. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also, and whom he, them he also justified, and them he justified, them he also glorified already. Praise be to God. Notice this again, 1 Corinthians 1, 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Boy, he wanted the saints to get this, didn't he? You're called to be saints. Was all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were, listen now what you're called to, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It would be an honor just to be his slave. It would be an honor just to be his servant. But think of it, the called are not called to be just slaves and servants in the house of God. Think what they're called for. They're called to fellowship. The Lord Jesus actually wants to fellowship with you. Praise God. Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So, to those who are called, back now to Hebrews 9:15, that we might receive the promise, oh my goodness, of eternal inheritance. Uh-oh. Now, if it's eternal, that means it never started. It never had a day it began. And it can never have a day that it ends. So Paul is speaking now directly about a people who are designed by the eternal to receive an eternal inheritance. Oh my. You see, them that are called are actually the one who share the eternal inheritance before they ever move into the realm of eternal life. So eternal life is not just a place where you go. The foolish virgin, those, the Lot type of the Old Testament, those that come out of great tribulation in the New Testament, many, 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 many people will come up at the white throne judgment and be judged. And they will be allowed to go into eternal life. But they don't have it now. They have accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Praise the Lord. And they love Him to a degree. They love church, many of them. They do many, many things. But that's not eternal life. Eternal life is the life of the testator that comes back and lives inside of you and lives out of you His will or testament. And you're not all the time, oh, why do we have to go? Oh, I hate, I've got to give up that. I can't stand it because I can't go back in the world. Oh, I want my drinking. Oh, I want my smoking. Oh, why do I have to give it up? No, you don't have eternal life. Get eternal life and those things will go. And it'll help you get away from your selfishness as well. Because eternal life is living for others. Now, not works. Well, you say, well, I do things for people all the time. No, you're totally missing that quote altogether. Eternal life is living for others, or an expression of a lived out being out of your being. It comes just as automatic. It's just as easy for a child of God to live the word as it is for a drunk to live like a drunk. A drunk to go, oh man, I got to go out and get drunk tonight. I hate it so bad. He can't wait till Friday. He can't wait till Saturday. Why? It's in his nature. A child of God that has the will of the tester. This is why to the Gentiles, those who have the seals broken open to their life, this is not a bunch of do's and don'ts and cans and cannot. Oh, I can't go here and I can't go there. No, it's not that. It's actually the life of the testator himself living in you. And you actually want to do it. Praise God. How many knows what I'm talking about? How many of y'all want to live right? Oh my Lord, what do the rest of y'all want? How many of you all want to live right? You want to do what the word says. You want to? You really want to? Praise God, you're blessed. Notice verse 16. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator's boy. Or the testator's daughter, or the testator's lawyer, or the testator's friend. There's only one way. Even the executor cannot die and kick in the will. You see, he became the mediator. Now, as I looked at it last week, that he was actually the redemption money by which God in type said, oh, the firstborn are mine. Then God said, I will accept the Levites in the place of the firstborn. So he tells Moses, number all the Levites and then number all the firstborn. And when he got done, there was more firstborn in all the tribes than there was Levites. Now what's the type, the mystery of God that was hid in the substitutionary work here. So let's say it this way, that there was, say, 4,000 Levites, but there would be 4,500 firstborn. So you got 500 more people than you got Levites. So each Levite stood in place for another individual. So instead of you giving your life, the Levite stood for you. But there were so many beyond the number of Levites. And then God said, well, this is what you can do. Take the temple money or the money of substitution and receive this money in the place of the Levites, because their numbers are short. So here a Levite stood for an individual. But over here, because the expanse of the firstborn was larger, then there was so much money. And it's called redemption money. So Moses brought the redemption money, amen, to Aaron and his sons. So the money then is given back to the priesthood, and they redeem their sons back from God. Now, because God said everything that breaketh the matrix or openeth the womb is mine. Animals, men alike. So if you had a donkey, an ass it was called in the Bible, and he was as ugly as he could be. His big old long ears flopping, I mean, he was a little bitty old short guy. He was nothing like a big horse, but he could be redeemed if he was the firstborn. Now he had to be redeemed, and if you did not redeem him, then God said, if you don't redeem him, break his neck. So the firstborn had the right to be redeemed. Praise be to God. You see, here is the type from the Old Testament of the separation between bride and church. So out of the same father and same mother might come six or seven more children, or out of the same male donkey and out of the same female donkey may come 15 or 20 or 30 more offspring out of that. But yet they are not considered in the redemption, because only the firstborn can be redeemed. Oh, glory. Now notice, in Christ had to become the mediator of the New Testament, but Christ in the form of Logos could not die. So it must be that he will condescend and become in a human form and become a man, a human, you understand, which is going to be called the Son of God or the humanity of God. But notice this, then the Bible tells us that he was the firstborn of Mary. Come on. Hallelujah. He was the one that broke the matrix. Glory be to God. Notice this in verse 17. For a testament is a force after men are dead. A force. Or it is ratified or confirmed. It's the same thing with a compact or an agreement or a covenant. It is suffixed by a seal. So actually, the Lord Jesus, when he died, it was the seal or the ratification that the will of the eternal has now been completed. So as he hangs on the cross, it is finished. So the words goes out of his mouth, and by his death, it releases now the will of the eternal. Now, even though it's released, it is yet a few days before the saints are released from that dimension down there. But yet, it has now been ratified and confirmed, and the seal, hallelujah, and God allowed the Romans to go over and put him up in a tomb. And what did they do? They seal that tomb with the Roman seal. Hallelujah. And their guards were there, and the Jewish Sanhedrin, their council, they also posted people there so it would be witnessed by both Romans and Jews that he did truly raise from the dead. For a testament is a force after men are dead. So what Paul's trying to emphasize is the necessity of Christ's death. No doubt, many of them are still struggling to think, why would he die? How in the world, when the Bible says, cursed is he that hangeth on a tree? How could this be the very Emmanuel himself? How could it be the supernatural? And yet we saw him hang on a cross and bleed and die and cry and suffer. And they're trying to contemplate it in their mind. How can it be? He's trying to break it to them. This is one thing I love about Hebrews. It is the merging together of the invisible God of the Old Testament into the visibility of the Son of God in the New Testament. Trying to bring to them the charter covenant and help them to see this is how you can stand before God in the way that you are. You have been released to you a New Testament, a new will, a new covenant. Are you and I going to let the devil rob us of those things he paid for? Then my brother, sister, I guarantee you one thing. We will have to fight for every inch of ground with God in Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Notice, so it cannot be executed. It cannot be executed until. Now you might read it. Well, I'm going to daddy's secret place here and I'm going to file through, go through and say, I'm going to see what I've got. Where's all my brothers and sisters at? Five pieces of bubble gum. Hey, that can't be right. And the door opens up. What are you doing? Oh, nothing. I know what you're doing. You're reading daddy's will. You might as well put it back because it's not effective. As long as daddy's around. But as soon as the man dies, death authenticates. Death is the seal. It's amazing how death can be a seal to release the power of a will. So say you owe all kinds of money, you owe all kinds of debts, but in the will is the releasing to free you from everything you owe. But it's of no power, it's of no force until your daddy is dead. Now remember, as long as he is alive, he can change the will. A lot of folks have been put out of wills because of their behavior. I'm sure glad God didn't judge me because of that. There were none of us. We wouldn't have got five pieces of bubblegum, would we? We wouldn't have got nothing at all. But he determined our destiny before there was ever a world. And it was not like that he needed to wait. Now, what's Johnny going to do? Now, I'm going to have to watch Johnny because I know him. I'm going to have to watch that Philip Martin. Sorry, low down outfit. Look at that Larry Ellis. I'm telling you what, that Yonce bunch, that Walker Skip. Oh, Lord, look at that Skip Walker. I'm going to have to really think about this. No, he knew you before the foundation of the world. But he knew you was only captured in this old deprived body. He knew you were captured in this thing. He knew what the real you was. And the will was made to the real you. He knew all you needed was the power out of the will. And oh, glory to God, once the power was released out of the will, it would change you to line up and be what the will wanted you to be. Hallelujah. You didn't want to be like that. You didn't want to live like the world. But the opening of the will released the power to help you. Praise be to God. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all. While the testator liveth. So no claim on the legatees can be made. But my name's right there, it's right there, it's right there. I want this, I need this, I want it right now. Said, you can't have it. Why? The testator is still alive. Now, Jesus gave the power to the apostles. Exousia and dunamis. The two words used for power. Exousia is legislative authority. It's like a police officer receives. So he receives from the mayor and from whoever more. You've got the authority. You see somebody speeding down the road to pull them over. You've got the authority to do this. You've got the authority to wear the uniform. You've got the authority to wear the badge, to draw the gun, to do this and that and the other. That is an authority given to them. That's what the apostles had pre-Calvary. But they did not have dunamis. And dunamis is the word we get dynamite from. They did not have a power by indwelling nature. They had an authority given by the word. Go over here and do this. Go down there and do that. Go over here and do that. Yes, sir, I'll do it. Yes, sir, absolutely. I'll do it in your name. That is exousia. But dunamis is a power that lives in your own body. It is an inherent nature. But you see, they could not receive dunamis because the testator was still alive. So they'd go out and heal the sick and come back and fuss and argue. Now, who's got the biggest church in the message, me or Peter? Now, who's going to sit on the left hand and the right hand side of you in the kingdom? Will it be Lee Vale? Will it be Tim Pruitt? Will it be Donnie Reagan? Who's going to sit on the right and the left hand? Well, that's people with exousia, but not birthed with dunamis. Well, come on, saints. You see, once you get dunamis, you lose all that thing of big me and little you and all that. No. That don't even matter no more. But because the will had not been released, therefore releasing the life to make you live it, they'd argue and they'd fuss and they'd run. They'd deny they even knew the Lord. Wasn't you with them? Well, I don't even know who that man is. When Peter even come to a place, he was a cussing preacher. Is that your truth? And when the Lord Jesus went out there and said, hey, y'all caught any fish, any meat? They said, no. So they said, Peter, it's the Lord. And the Bible says Peter was fishing naked. I've heard of fishing in all kinds of ways, but I ain't never understood that in my life. I mean, is this man gone out of his mind? And he jumped in the water. Was that what the Bible says? That's what your Bible says. Why? Because the will, hallelujah, his name had not been called from the open will to Peter, to John, to Jim, to you, sisters included. This ain't just a brother's thing now. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, the men were circumcised and the woman was a part of the covenant when she married a man. But now, sisters, you receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost is what puts you in the covenant. You can pray just like a man can pray. You can touch the heart of God just like a man can touch the heart of God. And the Lord Jesus knew they didn't have the power, and he knew they couldn't get it. So there's no strength. For a testimony is a force after a man did it. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So no claim can be made by the legatees to say, well, this is mine. I want this. I said, you can't have it now. Why? Well, the testator is still with you. Didn't you hear him say, it's expedient for you that I go away? Because if I don't go away, the power of the will not come. But if I go away, then the power of the will come and live inside of you and help you to live the New Testament made manifest. Glory to God. Otherwise, it is of no strength. So no claim can be made. You can't pay no debts. Oh, glory to God. You cannot have power to overcome. You try to do good. Oh, no matter how much I try, I just fall right back in the same old thing again. Oh, you know what that means, friend? You're still reading it. You're reading from the will. You're reading from the will, but you ain't got the power of the will yet. If your will is constantly overpowering your godly desire to do something, you need to get a new will. What is that will? The power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm trying to psych myself up. I'm trying to psych myself up. I'm trying to educate myself. Well, I don't have to depend on pornography. You need deliverance. Oh, I'm trying to psych myself up. Well, I don't need alcohol. You need deliverance. Oh, I'm trying to psych myself up. Well, I don't need pills anymore. You need deliverance. It is of no strength. Can you imagine when the power of God come down that day on Pentecost? The testator of the will has now been raised from the dead. He's moved into the position of mediator. And here are all these empty human vessels. About 120 of them. And the woman who even carried the body of the Lord Jesus And there they are gathered, waiting, waiting, waiting. Brother Bam said, maybe one of them said, you know what, I believe we've already got it. Well, praise God, I believe we've already got it. He said, but Peter said, wait a minute, boys. The scripture's got something to say about this. And he quoted Joel 2. In the last day, saith God, I will pour out the contents of the will. Friends, the will is just not words. The will is just not memorizing scriptures. It's not just memorizing quotes. It is the power to give us the ability to do what he said. It's the power within us when we get so discouraged and so down with the things of life and the difficulties of life that something within us, beyond us, pushes us on. Something beyond ourselves. Even when you come to the end of your faith and you say, my faith has run out. Well, it's about time for God's faith to kick in then. But if you don't have the power of the will, what do people do? Give up. Well, I'm going back to the world. Well, go on. That's what you are. All you were was a washed hog. Right? And a dog that vomited and left the vomit in a pile, but knows where the vomit is. So then you go back to your wallow in the mire, and you go back to your vomit, dog, and you go to eating that same old stuff you give up years ago. That's what's happened to a lot of these folks that's left the message. What are they doing? Many of them was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they go straight back into Trinitarianism, go straight back into some of them denominations and say they're free. Free? Free from what? Free? You can take on the name of the bridegroom and then take on the name of a denominational system and say, I feel so sorry for you, message folks. Don't feel sorry for us. We're the ones that's free. Hallelujah. The only thing you done is went back to your old Trinitarian vomit and licked it up. So you say, y'all won't fellowship with us. I don't like fellowshipping with folks with vomit on their breath. Amen. Well, praise God. Preach, Brother Donnie. It's hard for a little old sheep that's called to be a saint to sit down beside an old filthy hog that's went back to their old wallowing in the mire. Come on, Happy Valley. We might bring an old hog up here and wash her and paint her fingernails and put some perfume all over and make her smell real good. You turn that old sow loose and what will she do? She'll go just as straight as she can go to that mud hole. She'll get in there and waller around while she's right at home in that old backslid church. She's right at home in that old bar stool. But if you let a man get filled with the Holy Ghost, you let a woman get filled with the Holy Ghost, they may have wallowed in the mire. They may have eaten vomit at one time, but they sure won't eat it no more. Why? Because they've got a new nature. They've got a new desire. Because the will has come open to them and they have got their marriage certificate and they are released from the law of that first husband. Let's stand together. Praise be to God. Watch this in St. John 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Because the testator had not been crucified, died, raised, and glorified. It was a coming promise, but they couldn't get it now. But you sure can tonight. Praise be to God. Notice this, the old covenant was in force. Think of it. The Old Testament was in force and the covenant until the very last breath of his life when he goes out. Then the new covenant was ratified, stamped with the seal of his death. And this is what it done for you. Let's read this in a visible union. Now your name is now in the new book. Not the book of life, but the Lamb's book of life. What the Lamb redeemed. Not the old book of your natural union, but your new bride. Hallelujah. Your new life is in the Lamb's book of life. Your marriage certificate. Hallelujah. Where your true eternal germ from the beginning takes hold. Now you're not only forgiven, but you're justified. Glory, justified. Romans 5:1. Yeah, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith. Paragraph 228 of the same message. In God's book of the sea of forgiveness, your old book and marriage is divorced and dead. It's not even in the memories of God. Praise God. You are justified. Therefore, being justified. It was accused. You was accused. You never done it in the first place. The old union is in the sea of God's forgiveness. You, now notice, you got to separate you from you. You wasn't married to it to begin with. But it just got through telling you that you were. Now he's telling you, you weren't. So there's a part of you that was, but the germ never was married. You wasn't married to it to begin with. He, the bridegroom, bore your shame himself for you in your place. He took your place for you. Were predestinated for him to be in his bride. Before the foundation of the world, the Bible said so. You are the predestinated seed. Praise God. You were deceived into it by your first marriage to your adulterous parent Eve. It's no fault of your own. By your natural birth, you come after Eve who committed adultery. That's the reason you were born an adulteress. You're a sinner to begin with. That's right. You was deceived into it. You had no you. It ain't your fault. Well, I wish he'd make up his mind. Was I or wasn't I? His mind was made up. You was, but you wasn't. Well, Brother Dye, that makes no sense. It makes perfect sense. He says, if you separate you from you, you never did it. I love this. Because that little germ that was in you was to be you. Don't you see? When that little germ was in you, it was not you yet. As long as you was married to that first husband. It was your representation, but not fully you. Children, don't you understand what the new birth did? It made the germ fully you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That little germ that was in you was to be you before the foundation of the world. God put your name in the Lamb's book of life. Now remember, we're talking about your soul that has been cleared from the sin debt. So if that is true and my sins have been expiated, what happened to them? Where did they go? On the sea of his forgiveness. That's right. But not only that. They went and laid on the head of him who caused me to do it. So once my soul is cleared, watch this in God in simplicity. But when he crossed, he separated his sonship. He's a sinner by nature. Under the hands and dominion of Satan. And God took a sacrifice. Chemical of the blood. But the blood of bulls and goats did not divorce sin. Only covered sin. If I've got a red spot in my hand and I cover it with white, the red spot's still there. See, it's still there. That was the blood of the Old Testament like I spoke about a while ago. But God sent down from heaven a bleach for sin. The blood of his own son. That when our confessed sin drops into God's bleach, try to find it again. The coloring of sin goes back through the mediators, down through the time. I love this. Until it hits, hits the accuser Satan and lays on him till the day of the judgment. Praise be to God. My brother, sister, that is justice if I ever heard of it. Praise God. What happens to the Son? He becomes in perfect fellowship with the Father again, standing on the other side of the chasm. Praise God. With no remembrance of sin against him. Jump down to the bottom of that, and every molecule of sin goes back to the devil and laid on him till the day of judgment, where his eternal destination will be thrown into a lake of fire. Hear that, blabbermouth? Hallelujah. 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 Think of it. Praise God. It ain't no wonder he hates you. It's no wonder he despises this message. There's not another message in the world. There's not a Bible seminary. There's not a Bible college anywhere you'll find that will trace that back and expose him like this. This is why he hates this word. He'll do everything he can to take your confidence away from it. But you remember in whom you have believed. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. So we're on the other side of the chasm in our souls. And the will has been read. By his stripes, you are already healed. I told the Lord yesterday, praying, I said, Lord Jesus, if you were here today and you and I could get in my car and ride down over the hill to my daughter's house, we would walk in there. There's not one thing you could do to heal her. Now think of it. You have already done it. Now think of it, friends. If the Lord Jesus was in this building tonight in a body, if he had on this suit that he gave me, if he was standing right there beside you, there's nothing he could do any more than what he's already done. So if you need healing, deliverance, whatever it is, if the Lord Jesus was here in person, there's no more he could do. What would he simply try to do? Get you to believe Hebrews 13:8. That he's the same yesterday, today, Brother Mark, and forever. So if the Lord Jesus was here, he couldn't do one thing more. Oh, you say, but Brother Donnie, he would do. Tell me, what could he do? He's already suffered stripes that you could be healed. There's nothing more he could do. But just simply do something to bring your faith to a spot that you would accept what he's already done and then put in practice A, B, C. You believe him, saints. Praise be to God. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord Jesus, how awesome, how wonderful is your word, your way, your will. Who are we, Lord God, that you would share such wonderful things with us? Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for giving me ears to hear, a heart to believe, a spirit to perceive, a mouth to echo and say, Amen. Thank you, Lord God. I see it, Lord. I see it. I may not see it like these people do. Maybe they see more of it than I do. Well, I'm glad for what I can see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what I can see. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd make it real to every one of us. Father, may we look in those pages and find our name in the will. Because we have been called, praise God, by the mediator himself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That the office of the comforter has now become the executor of the will. And this is why we need the power of revelation, that woman, you're something preached, that it makes it real to us. This is why I get texts and emails. It amazes me, Lord. From all over the world, I will get emails and letters and cards and texts. And people will say, that sermon was just for me. God had you to say this just for me. And I just always do the same thing. I just smile and say, hallelujah. That's email number 333. That's saying it was just for them. And card number 57 and text number 45 and whatever more. Because, Lord, I know I can't do that. It's you, the Holy Ghost, taking a human instrument and calling their name as they're hearing the word preached. And some of them, they think, well, I've never heard my name called. They're hearing it tonight. They're hearing it tonight, their real name. The part of the word. Praise God. That's why it echoes. That's something deep down inside them, Lord. It's you calling their name. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord God. Then, Father, we want to praise you tonight for healing. We want to praise you in advance. Father God, I'm going to praise you right now. For healing our brothers and sisters with COVID. Healing those that's got tumors or those that's got emphysema or eczema or whatever it is in their body. Lord God, may we claim the promise. Father, may we hear our name called from the pages of the will. Lord, if you were here tonight and in a physical body, my, would all run to you. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Oh, Lord, I need this. And you'd have to stand there and say, well, there's nothing more I can do. There's nothing more that I could, I can't bleed again. I can't be beat again. There's nothing more I can do except just tell you to accept my promise. Praise God. We worship you, Lord God. Then the prophet told us, act like we're healed. Go ahead and worship like we're healed. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. A, B, C. Accept, believe, confess. Lord God, my heart jumped within me yesterday as we sat in that doctor's office and he said, I'm sitting here today with much less anxiety than I had when I saw you all the first time. I thought, I love it when you make them testify of your greatness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In one way, I actually felt sorry for him the first day, Lord, because he was more nervous and more tore up than we were. It takes the Spirit of God when we hear the words of science today. They scare us, Lord, when we hear them. But if our heart is anchored in the promise of your word, we can hear Satan and all of his chatter, chatter, chatter. And we just sit there stable because our faith is in a mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. How many loves him tonight with all your heart? Praise God. Have you been blessed to be in the house of God, to once again hear the reading of the will and to hear your name called out? Worship you, Lord Jesus. I magnify you. I bless your name, Lord. Let's sing something together, hey. How many like to worship God with me for just a little bit before we go? Oh my, thank the Lord. My, it ain't 9 o'clock yet. Folks down at the bar, they just got their old country music all going and they're just going around 3 or 4 and in the morning about 4 o'clock, they'll have the office headache that ever was. And think of it, you've got intoxicated with the power of the Holy Ghost You won't wake up in the morning owing a big lot at the bar and a big tab to have to pay. But, oh, hallelujah. I'm not saying that you won't be drunk. You may get up and have to go to the bathroom still drunk on the Holy Ghost. But it'll do you good. Hallelujah. Can we just worship Him a little bit? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship You, Lord God. We bless Your name, Lord.
I am redeemed.
Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
You set me free.
You made me free, Lord. Oh, yes, You did, Jesus.
So I'll shake off.
Shake them off.
Heavy chains. Wipe away the stain. Stay, I'm not who I used to be.
song. Been a while since we've sung this, but when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Can you believe that for yourself tonight? Harry, you care to sing that verse? You care to sing that first verse?
I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes and often slip. Just common flesh and bone. But he'll prove someday just what I say.
You and I were wrong.
draw me close tonight. You know, we talk about the blood and the sacrifice that he's made for us. You know, unworthy, so unworthy. It just makes me want to draw closer to him, live closer to him than I've ever lived before. Let's just sing this tonight, make this a prayer.
Oh, Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. I desire
still be praying for the service, Brother Donnie, in the morning. Are you thankful to be saved by grace? Your name's in the book of life, Lamb's book of life. Let's just sing that as we go tonight.
Well, I was alone in the darkness. I could not find my way. Jesus shined a light on me, and he turned all my night to day. Sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. And when I reach that city, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing brought me to the other side. It's when I reach that city, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption's story, how he brought me to the other side. Saved by grace, I've been saved by and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I